move along this morning, we again call your attention to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, verses 12 and 13. The Bible reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th month of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat." Verses 12 and 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Supporting scripture this morning coming from 1 Peter. First chapter, verses 18 and 19. The Bible reads, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. "And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Based on those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. I am saved by the blood. I am saved by the blood. We want to share with you this morning that we are saved by the blood. Hallelujah. Something about Jesus. Make you cry out. Hallelujah. We thank God for respect, but we also thank God for the Spirit. And sometimes when your spirit starts to stir up down on the inside, seem like the more you try to control it, the more it just seems to start of turning and turning, and you just feel better and better, and you just can't compose yourself. So if you're one of those this morning that know that God has done something for you, and he's the one that woke you up this morning, and you are thankful to God for your here being, then it's all right with me if you just take time for a praise break and tell the Lord thank you this morning. Somebody need a praise break this morning. Somebody need to get up off of that stool of do nothing and just say, "Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done for me." Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The Bible says, "Quench not the Spirit." Lord have mercy. Bonnie. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I thank God that my folk know me and love me to know that when I get excited like that or if I call you out like that, I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I'm just so glad to see my sister this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to pray ye one for another. And when we see somebody pressing their way and trying to do better, we got to give them praise. We got to give them encouragement. We got to let them know that it's all right because all of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us are just trying to get a little bit closer. Anybody trying to get closer this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm just so excited about Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, don't worry about it. She's all right. She is all right. Didn't you hear a testimony this morning? That there are certain times when it just grab hold of you and you just can't let go. Because don't nobody know how, like you know when grief sets in. One day you all right, the next day you just all tore up. But there is a God that understands what you're going through. And God allows you to have your moments. So it's all right to have those moments. Because those moments when you have an opportunity to release. You see, praises and crying and all of those things that we call to be emotional is a way of releasing. God has been so good to us. If we didn't release sometimes, we couldn't hold on to all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And then sometimes when we really just think about how really good God is, when you think and you take a self-examination, God looked beyond my faults. God looked beyond my evil deeds. God looked beyond my lying tongue or my judgmental spirit, whatever your case may be, because we all fall somewhere. And so we are thankful. We are thankful that God has blessed us and is yet still keeping us. The last time that I stood in this place, it was to do a eulogy. So you be thankful every time that you get a chance to stand before the living, and there's nobody in here dead right now. Hallelujah. And the Bible that I read said that everything that have breath ought to praise the Lord. So I remind of a son to say, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I already know, brother. Hold on, I'm going to have a good time this morning. Hallelujah. My sister Bonnie in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And it's because of God's grace and his mercy. Only because of his mercy that any of us are in here this morning, that any of us have even just a little bit of joy. You see, that's the good thing is that in life you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to go through some things, but you ought to be able to still have some joy. I thank God for the songwriter that penned the song, out of all that I've been through, I still have joy. Because I believe that individual had gone through some things in life that they were almost at a point of giving up in despair and saying, nobody cares about me. I'm not going to make it. But out of all that I've gone through, God in his small, still voice spoke to my heart and told me that it's going to be all right. Anybody heard that voice from God? Where the Lord said, it's going to be all right. In the midst of your trials, your sickness, your heartaches and despairs, prosperity and even success, the Bible tells us that in all things, give thanks. And there are times when we just can't really understand why would God want us to give thanks in all things, because sometimes I'm going through. Sometimes I don't understand why I'm going through, because I'm trying to do the best that I know how to do. I've made up my mind and I've been talking to you, but it seemed like every time I get a little bit closer, that nasty enemy snatched me right back. But I got my mind made up that I'm going on anyhow. Anybody got your mind made up that even though you may not be where you want to be, you know you don't want to be where you used to be? See, I thank God we got to understand that we are all a work in progress. We hadn't arrived yet. I don't care if your testimony, I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, you're still in the flesh. And in the flesh, you're going to act just like a human being. You're going to see things with your eyes that are going to make you say something out of your lip or think something in your mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know that there are some things that you see that you don't say? There are some things that you ought to keep your mouth shut about anyhow. But then there are some things that you got to realize that it's not part of your business. If we would learn to stay in our own lane, then we wouldn't cause so many accidents along the way. When we think about him, we are reminded of just how much we have to be thankful for. It's another day's journey, and the songwriter said, I'm glad about it. Glad to be in this place. Glad to see the beautiful sunshine this morning. I'm glad that it's another chance for me and my brothers and sisters to get together, to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. As we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, we take special notice of all the things that we have to be thankful for. We share our blessings with others, and we come together as a family. We come together as the body of Christ, and we begin to sort of reminisce and look where we've come from. There are those that, thank God, will sit down at the table, and before they dine, they have time to give individuals to just say something that you are thankful for. You see, when we began to think about Thanksgiving and we get ready for this big Thanksgiving feast, let us do more than just say grace. You know, it's appropriate to say grace before you eat, and you need to do that. But before you even do that, you ought to find at least one thing that you want to thank God for other than just that food. It's good, and it is a blessing to have that food because somebody is hungry and don't have what you're going to dine on. But at the same token, God has done more for you than just feed you physical food. So you got to take time out to thank God. If no more than that, just thanking him that you woke up that morning. Thank him that your blood is still running warm in your veins. Thank him that you might even have an appetite. Think about that. There's going to be a lot of food cooked and all kind of aroma in the house, and you can smell it, but you don't have a taste for anything. So if you got a taste for something, if you still got an appetite for physical food, then I'm going to encourage you, develop an appetite for spiritual food. Because if you start eating of the word, you will find that it will give you strength that you didn't know that you had. When you eat of the word, it will increase your faith in letting you know that there is somebody that cares about you. As believers this morning, we know that we also say on many occasions, the Lord is our shepherd. And when we say that, we know that we don't have to want for anything because he is the supplier of all of our needs. And what I found out is that all we got to do is ask. You have not because you ask not. Some of us, we are inclined to believe that God is such a loving God and he does things in what we call a mysterious way. So we are waiting on God to just fall out of the sky and just bless us and shower us with blessings. But don't you know you got to do something too? Even though he's all knowing, even though he's all seeing, he see your condition, he see your need, but he wants you to open up your mouth and say, Lord, come on in. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me that I might be a help to somebody else. Lord, let me have faith enough that if I just open up my mouth and ask you for something, let me believe that it's already done. So many times we sit there waiting on God and God has already fixed it. Don't you know that's why the other songwriter penned, while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. That is somebody's story in here this morning. You've been trying to figure out how am I going to be a better person, and God has already worked it out for you. Because some of those folk that were pulling you down the wrong way, they don't like you no more because now you got a mind to come to church. They don't like you no more because you don't indulge on some of the things that you used to indulge on. You won't contribute to their cause. So now they back away from you. But that is a blessing. Because sometimes they cover over you so much that they begin to drag you down to the dirt. And the people this morning, we've come a long way. And we are living and we see the fulfillment of God's word coming to pass day by day. Many times, and even when we were younger, we didn't realize it, but we heard people say that Jesus is soon to come. As long as we've been living, we've been hearing people talking about him soon to come. He hadn't came yet. But I can still make the statement this morning that he's soon to come and could be correct. Because no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is going to appear. So he could come before benediction. So if he comes before benediction, have you been saved by the blood, or are you still in the midst of indecision? You don't know which way you want to go. You're at the crossroads of life, and life is showing you that down this road you can have a good time. There's so many folk down there, but I heard that down there where all the folk is, that's where destruction lies. You got to learn how to not follow the crowd and be satisfied that if I got to go over here and go all by myself, then I'll go by myself. Anybody don't mind sitting in the house sometime all by yourself? Anybody don't mind sometime if the phone don't ring all day? Because sometime when the phone ring, it always bringing bad news. See, sometimes you just need a little time for you and the Lord. Let Lord to talk to you. You talk to God and let him talk to you. But how many of you know you can't hear God sometimes when you got so much mess going on? So much stuff going on around you that you can't even hear your own self think. I make my babies laugh sometimes. I tell them I'm old and old folk don't like noise. Sit down, be quiet. They start laughing. But I found out. The older I get, the less noise I like. And it amazes me is that we as elders, we have been told and we've seen that our footsteps get shorter, our eyesight get dimmer. We don't hear as well as we used to hear, but I wonder what's wrong with the young folk. Because it seems like they can't hear as good as we can hear because everything is jacked up. There are times when you need to, even if you love the television, there's some of us, we have it on 24/7. But you ought to have it at a level to where you can hear yourself think, you can hear what's going on in the house, and you can hear what's going on outside the house. You got so much noise going on in the house, somebody could steal you and you never know it. We have got to get back to taking some God time, some time to be still, some time to realize that it's not all about my problem. There are those of us this morning that think that you're the only one got a problem. And because you are who you are, you feel like that everybody ought to come to your rescue. Because you are who you are, you say, well, Pastor, I need you to come and see me because I got a problem. Well, that other folk got a problem, and I got some problems too. Well, what is your problem? But there are times when your problem don't weigh enough for me to just come running right then. Do you hear what I'm saying? How many of you know that there are times when you got to stop worrying about where the preacher at, where your mama at, where your daddy at, where your uncle at, and know that it's going to just be you and God and your problem, and you got to start talking to God for yourself. You got to stand up for yourself, and you got to know that I'm going to make it through this thing, even if I have to go all by myself. I'm going to make it. We got any believers that know that you can make it? I found out that Paul said, even when I do good, evil is also present with me. Somebody said it like this, I can't win for losing. Know how it is? Seems like the more you try to do the right thing, the wrong thing always get in the way. No matter how hard you try, how much you pray, there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot change what God has for you. God is a God that can do anything that he want to do. He has all power and he is a prayer answering God. God is the one that we all depend on this morning, because in God, I know that I got somebody that will always be right there. This morning, as we journey back into the bit of time, we realize that the children of Israel were in a dreadful situation. We know the story, but there are some folk that maybe have forgotten. Every now and again, we still have to preach some of these same scriptures so that somebody that may not have been there the other time can realize what is in the Word of God. They've heard of the Passover, they heard of unleavened bread, but they don't have a clear understanding as to what you're talking about. Now, to just bring the story to where we are right now, we know that the children of Israel, they were bound in slavery in Egypt for a mighty long time. And Pharaoh had a very hard heart. And the thing is that every time Moses and Aaron went to make an appeal for the people, Pharaoh got a little bit madder and he worked them a little bit harder. So in turn, what happened is that the people began to get a little upset with Moses and Aaron, because they felt like if you leave Pharaoh alone, it won't be that bad on us. But every time I turn around, here you go talking about God is going to deliver us. God is going to bring us out. And we are catching it every day of our life. Now, I don't know what in the world am I going to do. But I thank God that we've got to believe that God is the one in control. You see, God told Moses that I'm going to use you as a leader. And I don't care what you say. Everything is going to come out just like I said it's going to come out. Brother Moses, I know you got a stuttering problem, but I got somebody by the name of Aaron that's going to help you. So that when you can't get the words out clear, he'll speak for you. But I got to have you to stand, because you are the one that I designated to be the leader. See, you got to learn how to not shift off your responsibilities. A lot of time when God tells you to do something, you want to go and get somebody else to do it. But that's not the way God said it. We got to do it just like God said do it. So they're wondering, we've been here for a mighty long time. God has shown himself to be God. God has caused 9 different plagues amongst the people. Now God has this final plague, and God is telling Moses, I got to let you know that once Pharaoh get a whiff of this, Pharaoh going to run you out of town. You ain't going to have to ask him, can you leave? He can't stand too much of this. So you got to trust the power of a mighty God. Bible said the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron as they were there in the land of Egypt. He said, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, meaning all the children of Israel. Tell them that on the 10th day of the month, that every man need to find a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. So in other words, what he's saying is that on that 10th day, when you go out and you get a lamb, get one that's large enough to feed your family. But now if you don't have that many in your family and you got a lot of meat left over, take your neighbors beside you and feed them. You see, what we got to understand here, when you go out and get this lamb for your burnt offering, we don't want anything to be wasted. You see, we go through too much food now. We go and we like this, we don't like that, and we throw a whole lot of things away. But we got to follow strict instructions right here. The Bible said that if the household be too little, then you got to find enough for your neighbor. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Now, what that is telling us is that you know how some of us got some greedy folk in the family? So now you know what it takes to fill them up. So you got to make sure that you got enough for everybody. So don't worry about it, because you got to do this thing in haste. You can't be, you know how some of us got some slow eaters? You know, some folk got to chew every bite over and over and over and over again. Well, we don't have that kind of time this morning. You're going to have to chew it, get ready, and we got to go. So now the Bible says that your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goat. So these are the instructions. Go out there and get you a lamb. This lamb is going to be used for a burnt offering. And in order for you to do that, to use it in the Passover situation, you got to make sure that it's unblemished. In other words, you want the perfect animal. You don't want one that coming out all crooked up. You don't want one that got any kind of disease. You don't want one that just don't look right. You want the best one, and you want to get the first one. So now the Bible says get it on the 10th day, but don't mess with it yet. Put it off to the side for 4 days because you got to check it out. You got to make sure that it's pure. You got to make sure that it don't have no blemish. You know how when sometimes you come out and you're all right, but in a day or so, once they start running some tests, they start saying, well, I found this situation and I found this, but we're going to take this testing time in the 4 days. And after the 4 days, on that fourth night, getting ready to eat. Hallelujah. The Bible says, ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now, realize that we are talking about somewhere between March and April. But God is saying that this is going to be the beginning of a new year for you. In other words, things getting ready to change for you. In other words, you're not going to be in bondage anymore. I'm getting ready to fix some things and you're going to have a brand new day. Everything is going to be different. So even though you might be a few months into the year, this is the first month of the year for you. So are we on the same page? All right. So now the Bible says, and they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. So in other words, he's saying that after you get the lamb on that foot, for 14th night, when you kill the lamb, take some of the blood and you want to put it over the top of the doorpost and on the sides of the doorpost as a sign for the Lord, so that when the Lord comes through, he'll see that those that are inside this house are going to be delivered. Those that are inside this house are not going to have any hurt, harm, or danger, because they're going to be saved by what? Thank you. I'm glad you're with me this morning, because I don't want to do all this talking in vain. I want you to hear and learn something this morning, because you know some of us, we don't want to get our hands dirty and we don't want to do this. Oh, that's nasty. I'm not going to touch that blood. But if God said, take a little bit of that blood and rub it across the door, then I'm going to get me some of that blood and I'm going to put it across my door. Now there's some folks that might say, well, I ain't doing all that. I ain't doing all. You do what you want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. But the K's over here in the K's house, we're going to have some blood on our door. Anybody else in here want to join in? So now, the Bible says, you got the blood on the door. You got your instructions that you got to eat. He said that night when you eat, now, you got a very special way that you got to prepare this food. Some of us, we get caught up in the, I don't like fried because it's not good for you. I don't like bacon. Every now and again, doctor may tell you need to bake it or boil it. Well, the Lord talking this time. The Lord said that you got to roast it over the fire. Unleavened bread. In other words, the bread ain't going to have no yeast. You ain't going to have no big fat biscuit there. You know how you cooks are. You know you got to set it out for a while. And after a while, that yeast will begin to make that dough rise. Well, the Lord said you ain't got time for all that tonight. You got to eat it quick and you got to be ready to go. So roast it. Don't boil it. Don't do nothing but like I tell you to do. Leave the legs on. Don't cut him open. Put the whole thing on the fire and just let him roast. That's what God said. Now the Bible says, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. For everything that is left over, we ain't having leftovers tomorrow. And everything that's left over, burn it up. Thus shall ye eat. Now, we got our instructions on preparation. But now, as the meat is beginning to get a smell to it, you done got good and hungry by now. Then you got to think about what's going on here. The children of Israel realize that this is going to be a great meal tonight. But the key to this meal is that I'm not going to be in bondage anymore. The key to this meal is I thank God that sometime another tonight, I'm going to be free. Sometime another tonight, the train is going to run and I got to be ready to go. You ever heard somebody say, pack up and get ready to go? Well, the Bible say that when you get ready to eat, you want to take your robe and gird it up and tie it down so that when you get ready, you don't have nothing in your way. So don't lay there thinking about, you know, sometime when you get ready to eat, you want to get comfortable. You want to put on some nice relaxing clothes and kick your shoes off and kick your feet up. You ain't got time for that tonight. Tonight you got to go ahead and you got to keep your sandals on your feet. And you got to keep all your clothes on because I'm coming in the middle of the night and you don't know what time I'm going to get there. But when I say it's time to go, you better be ready to go. Now, one thing, another thing that you got to have, you got to have your staff in your hand. See, you got to understand that they had a staff so that whenever you're going up those hills and on those journeys, you have something to help you along the way. So don't leave yourself at home. There might be something wild in the bushes that you need something to ward it off. So have your staff ready. So now here I am. I feel the fire. I see the fire. I see my food there. I got my shoes on. I got my robe tied up. I got my staff in my hand. And I'm waiting on the coming of the Lord. And all of a sudden, I hear Moses say that the Lord has told me, go on back to Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh, every young child, every firstborn is going to die tonight, whether it be animal or whether it be man. And I want to let you know that you better get ready, because we got to get up out of here. Moses called for the elders of the church. He said, draw nigh and come unto me. Find that lamb that I told you about. You better do what the Lord tell you to do. Moses did just what God told him to do. And after he got everybody in the right place, realized that I don't have the power to tell everybody. So I'm going to call all the elders together. And I set the elders together and I'm going to tell them what they got to do. Once I give them instruction, they better go back and tell their people. You see, if you're going to be a representative for God, if you're going to be a representative for your family, then when you take this word back this morning, tell them that you've been saved by the blood. Tell them that you got to get ready for the Passover that's coming on high. I got to know that God is going to be right there by my side. I got to know that ain't nobody going to keep me from getting what God has for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know that the Lord is by your side? I thank God that Moses realized that I got to do what God said to. Now we see them sitting there in the middle of the family. All the family members sitting down and eating one time together. See, you had to have a time when the family come together. Everybody began to eat of the lamb. Everybody began to eat of the unleavened bread. The Bible said it had some bitter herbs. In other words, the bitter herb for to remind them of all the suffering that they've been going through. That now you're not going to have to suffer anymore. They began to realize that when the Lord comes on the night, he's going to come and he's going to kill every boy child. He's going to kill every firstborn that is born. But when he look upon the roof and he look upon your house as he walking down the road, when he see the blood on the post, I'm going to pass over and everything will be all right. But I somebody let somebody know that there's somebody by the name of Jesus. Jesus the Christ that went down on Calvary's hill. Oh, what blood did he shed on Calvary? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or without spot, that lamb is more valuable than any silver and any gold. I've been saved by the blood of the lamb, not by any merits of my own, but it was the power of a mighty God. God looked down and looked beyond my fault. So I need to bless my very soul. And I'm called by to tell somebody this morning that I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. It was the blood that washed away all of my sins. It was the blood that cleansed you and make you whiter than snow. Somebody said nothing, nothing but the blood. Something about that blood. I heard the blood will never lose its power. Power to deliver you. Power to save you. Power to make everything all right. If you got blood on your doorpost,
everything is going to be all right. But I thank God that they strung him high and they hung him wide and they pierced him in the side. And when the blood and water come running down, it came down for the healing. It came down for salvation. And that blood saved all of us. It was the blood of the Lamb. The precious blood of Jesus that saves us, delivers us, delivered the children of Israel. And they had to have an animal burnt offering. But we don't have to worry about that. Jesus, he says, I am the Lamb. I'm the Lamb of God. And I'm going to shed my blood for your salvation. I've been saved by the blood. And something about that blood, it has so much power. When I think of this great Passover celebration, the Bible says that for continuing generations, every year, remember the Passover. You see, when we get to Passover season, we have been twisted into all we think of is Easter, clothes, food, gatherings. But that's not what the Passover should be all about. Every year when Easter comes, every believer under the sound of my voice, next year, if it's God's will that we're here, let us remember the Passover feast. That meant deliverance from bondage from the promise that he had given to the children of Israel, his chosen creation, his special creation. And I blessed you, I delivered you, and I'm going to go with you every step of the way. At midnight, I'm going to send Moses and Aaron back in there to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is going to say, get out of here. Take all your folk with you. And then you know what happened? All the silver, all the gold, and all of those riches. Pharaoh said, you can have all that junk. You just get you and your God get out of here. I got excited, but one other point. God said that when I come through, I'm going to make everybody know that I am the Lord. All the gods of Egypt, all those false gods that you've been looking up to and you've been worshiping, I'm going to show them who God really is. And once I run my train tonight, it won't be nobody that will have a misunderstanding of my power, because I got the power. And if I don't see that blood, and see, the thing is, obedience. When the elders went back to the people and told them what they needed to do, you got to do what the Lord say do.